and we're gonna bring that stuff right up here so we can decide.
Okay. Would it be all right here?
Yeah,
yeah.
Fine.
That'll mean a whole lot of that. I've got a voice that carries, so
yeah.
You need to. I'm certainly thankful to be here tonight. It's always been a pleasure to come to Happy Creek, and I told Brother Gary, I don't know yesterday or today, but everybody over here ought to be happy, because you're in Happy Creek. I've got a thought upon my mind this afternoon, and as the brother said, I've made my rounds this weekend and preached several times, but I heard a preacher say one time he didn't know how many sermons he had in him because he tried to preach them out. But we'll have one if the Lord will bless. Amen. It depends upon the Lord. And I trust in him this afternoon that he would deliver me once again, that I might come before the Lord's people and proclaim these precious truths. And when I say precious, they are precious. Amen. What was it? Peter over says, "A people of like precious faith." We have something that's so precious to us. A thought I want to convey, if I can, and I hope to explain it as I go along. Suppose Brother Gary sent five of you out of here right now and walked down here on the streets of Front Royal, and you met people and you told them, "Come to Happy Creek Church and hear a man talking about a man that knows everything about you." What kind of report would you receive from the people you talk to? And what kind of report would you bring back to here to tell us here at church? Well, this happened one time years ago when God was leading the children of Israel. And Joshua was leading them, and they were coming to the promised land. Now, they had traveled for 40 years in the wilderness and desert places. And God had took care of them all of that time. Now, they wasn't alone, because he said he put a fire in the sky to lead by night and a cloud over the sun to lead by day. He poured manna out of heaven. Even quail, when they got to murmuring about just the manna they was eating. He kept them in their shoes, never wore out, their clothes never wore out. I tell you, that's a wonderful God to take care of his people like that. I don't know how many people it was. I dare not to say. It could be in the millions. I don't know. But I do know that God took care of his people. And here he led them across the Red Sea. He led them across Jordan, and when it was at its fullest in the banks, the waters just departed, and they went across dry shod. And when they went across, they set up a memorial in the river of 12 stones representing the 12 tribes of Israel. And when they'd gone a little further, Joshua had sent 12 men in to investigate the land of Canaan. Well, they went and they was gone, and they begin to come back, kind of back two by two, coming back. And they had a report to give unto Joshua. And report was, by two of them says, "We can't go into the land of Canaan. There's giants in the land. We just can't whoop them. We can't go in and take it over because they're giants." Two came back with a cluster of grapes that two of them had to carry between them. But yet, "We can't go in. The armies is too big. The people are giants. And they're just too much to conquer." 10 out of the 12 brought back that report to Joshua. But here was old brother Caleb. He says, "We're able to go in and conquer it." Yeah. Why did he say that? Because he was trusting in the Lord. He had that knowledge that God would be with him and that they would go in and conquer the land of Canaan. And they brought back 10 bad reports, and here was two. Caleb was one of them that had a good report. And yet, they went in and conquered the land of Canaan. They went in and lived in houses they didn't build. They ate from vineyards they didn't plant. And they drank from wells that they didn't dig. And they conquered the land of Canaan. And you know, we today have that same land of Canaan that we're dwelling in today. And you know, we ought to be given a good report of the land of Canaan. Well, we don't want to go out and say, well, there's mean people over yonder. We can't conquer that. I never thought about that when I come asking a home in the church. I thought of all the love and kindness that they'd shown me. I want to give a good report. I tell you, children of God, I'm going back to North Carolina tomorrow. I've had a wonderful weekend. And somewhere, somebody next week's going to ask me, did I go to church over the weekend? And I'm going to tell them, yes, I was in church Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And they say, you mean you went 3 days in church? Yes, sir. I'm proud to say that I was in church for 3 days. Well, what did you hear? I tell you, children of God, I heard everything. I heard how the mercy of God, how the goodness of God was shed abroad in our hearts, how that we've been saved, how that we've been given the hope upon our breast, and these things, children of God, as a testimony unto the goodness and mercy of God. I'm going to give a good report. I'm going to say I've been with the people that love the Lord. I'm not going home and say, well, them people were mean to me. They looked down on me. They didn't think much of me. I want to tell you, children of God, I'm going back and say there's a people up there that loves me. Even though I'm unlovable, they care for me. They love me. Why? Because the love of God is in their heart, and that's how that they love me. Paul said, for the love of God constraineth us. We to love one another. In that third chapter of the book of John, tells us this, the Father loveth the Son and hath given him all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. I want to tell you, children of God, I know the love of God is in your heart because you love this old poor sinner. The Bible says that we know that we've passed from death unto life if we love the brethren. I love the brethren with all of my heart, and I'm going to give a good report on you. Now, you wouldn't want me to go back to North Carolina and give a bad report, would you? No. Excuse me. You want a good report. And I hope when I leave here, they won't say, well, I'm glad he's gone. Well, I tell you, that was a long-winded preacher. I ain't got much. You know, I'm glad he's gone home. I hope he don't come back. That would be a bad report on me. I hope within your heart that you can say, I hate to see you go, but you're welcome to come back anytime. That's the kind of report I want to hear. You remember the woman at the well, that Samaritan woman, when Jesus was at the well?
Yeah.
And he said, give unto me to drink. And Jesus said unto that Samaritan woman, he said, if you know that the gift of God, you would ask for that living water. She had a pot in her hand going to draw water. She saw Jesus didn't have no way of drawing water. And she kept on talking to him and kept on talking to him. And he kept telling her, children of God, that he is the well of life. He is that living water whom he... And, you know, it got her all confused till she left her water pot and went down into the city and talked to the men and said, come and see a man that knoweth all things whatsoever of me. I want to tell you, children of God, when you go out here on the street and you meet somebody, I want you to tell them of a man that knows everything about them. What kind of report are you going to get back from them? They'll say, oh, you're kidding. Ain't nobody knows everything about me. Well, I'll tell you, there is a God in heaven that knows even the very hair on your head.
Amen.
Knows the number. He knows what the intent of your heart is, the intention that you're going to do. He knows what you're going to do tomorrow before you know what you're going to do tomorrow. He knoweth all things. I've often wondered this. If God was to come today, If our Lord would walk through that door today and stand up here and look at you and say, give me a report on your life that you've lived here on this earth. What kind of report would you give him? Would you kind of just hee-haw around and say, well, Lord, I've tried to do this. I've tried to do that. I've tried to be good, knowing all the time that you were the lying. And the Lord knows you're lying. What kind of report are you going to give? I tell you, the report I want to give is like that old publican over there at the temple when he cried out. God, he said, merciful. Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner.
Amen.
That's the report I want to give, that God has been so gracious and so wonderful to me. That's the report I'm going to give. That's the report that I'm going to say, God, thou art merciful and kind and not worthy to even look upon thy face, children of God. But he is that God who cares for us and loves us with an everlasting love even before the world began. Now, that's the kind of report I want to give, that God is great and God is good. Oh, my friends, let me tell you about this God whom I love. This God whom I trust in and whom I want to give a report. And I tell you, Paul says, I shun not to declare to you the whole counsel of God. We need to tell the truth about our Lord. John had a testimony against about Jesus. He said he wasn't even worthy to unloosen the latches on his sandals or on his feet. I want to tell you, sometimes, children of God, I feel that way, that I'm not worthy. I didn't even call upon the name of Jesus. Even less give a report. I'll tell you, my report is that God loves sinners, and I thank God that I'm a sinner. I thank God that he has borne me, I hope, of the Spirit of God and led me to my brother's house. As old Brother Eddie said, in the banquet there where and his banner over me was love. My friends, if you have that banner over you, it's because that you're a child of God, one that's been brought out of this old sin-cursed world and been made alive in Christ and become a new creature. I'll tell you, children of God, if you have that life within you, then you ought to use it wisely. You ought to be a testifying, a witness, as the brethren says today, a witness to the fact that Jesus Christ saved you and called you. As Titus says, a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his mercy and grace, which was given unto us before the world began. Brethren, I tell you what, that's a testimony, isn't it? That's any time that we can testify before me and about the goodness and mercy of God. I'll tell you, children of God, I tell people when I'm out here in the world to come and unto the old church and hear what we have to say. Come and hear about a man that's greater than any man that's ever lived upon the face of the earth. Come to hear about a man who sacrificed himself on the cross and his shed blood redeemed us from all sins and iniquity. Come and hear about a man that knows everything about you. They come, children of God, to hear that good report. You know, I've tried for the last 20-some years to try to preach this gospel, and I've tried to give a good report about the Lord. I have found no fault in the Lord whatsoever.
There's none to be found.
Amen. There's none to be found. But I can tell you one thing. I can stand here all night and tell you the faults of old Brother Gene. I can tell you how unworthy I am, how a poor sinner I am, how a mean man that I am. I'll tell you, over there where I read where it says, can good water come out of a fountain? Can bitter water come out of that same fountain? Tell me. It can. I'll tell you, you can speak words of sweetness and all of a sudden turn around and some of the wickedest words can come out of your mouth. Brethren, that we spew it out, don't we, sometimes? I tell you, when old nature gets a hold of us. But, brethren, I try to keep my body, as Paul told Timothy, keep your body under subjection. I'll tell you, my friend, is that not a task to do? Is that not something hard to do? Can you keep it under subjection all the time that you can give a good report of your actions? Is God pleased with what you're doing? Is God pleased with how you're living your life? life? Is God pleased of the way you treat your brothers and sisters? Brother, I'm ashamed sometimes that I talk about my brothers and sisters. I ought to have my mouth washed out with soap as I did when I was a youngin. But I want to tell you, there's something greater than that soap that man can wash out. It's that feeling in the heart when the Lord touches you and causes you to be ashamed. Oh, I'm ashamed sometimes about the way I treat my brothers and sisters. But I thank God that He's a forgiving God. He's a merciful God. He forgives my sins. Oh, aren't you glad today, children of God, that we have Him, to look unto Him as the author and finisher of our faith. He's the one, child of God, where we can look to Him and call upon Him in the wee hours of the morning and night. I tell you, I heard something this week. Brother Stan Cadle was talking about when you're wrestling with yourself in the middle of the night, when you can't go to sleep, troubles has come upon your breast. I'll tell you, my friend, he says, pray yourself to sleep. And brother, I know it works, because I woke up this morning at 4 o'clock, had what I was going to preach on my mind, and I couldn't go back to sleep. And I thought of what the old brother said about praying, and I went to praying, children of God, and it wasn't but a moment or two I fell off to sleep. Tell me prayer don't work. Tell me prayer don't work. I'll tell you, and I got some restful sleep for a little while. Oh, that we can rest in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ah, my friends, I want to be a testimony to the goodness and mercy of God. As that little woman there at the well, she said, I perceive that thou art a prophet. She knew something was different about him. She knew that he was more than a Jew. And he told her, he says, Jesus said to her, go call thy husband and come hither.
Yeah.
Well, how did Jesus know she had a husband? How did she know that Jesus knew she had a husband? The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that sayest thou truly. The woman said unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Oh, he said, our fathers worshipped her in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. You know, at that time, the brethren was talking about the law service. They worship her in the law service. But now we're under grace and truth.
Amen.
And Jesus told them, he says, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet in Jerusalem worship the Father.
Right.
You worship you know not what.
We know
what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him.
Amen.
God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth.
Amen.
How are you going to have a testimony unto the mercy and the goodness of God unless it be by the Spirit of God?
Okay.
You can't come into this place and say, I love the Lord except by the Spirit of God.
Amen.
You can't acknowledge that God is even God. The Bible says that no flesh can glory in the sight of God. He that is born of God has that capacity. But he that's not born of God is foolishness unto him.
Yes.
He knows not God. He'll never know God except God show mercy upon him. And if God has shown mercy upon him, what kind of testimony are we going to give? I want my life as I live it to be a testimony unto the mercies of God. I'm not out here to tell you how good old Brother Gene is, but I'm out here to tell you how good God is.
Amen.
And how bad that I am. Oh, I tell you, children of God, we as poor sinners in this world, and I heard a man say one time, says, when I accepted the Lord as my personal Savior, I quit sinning. I tell you what, everyone that's breathing the breath of life is a sinner. They're going to continue to sin. But I'll tell you, when sin's going to be finished,
yeah,
it's going to bring forth death.
Right.
So if you're, I hear living and breathing, you're still a sinner. But that man, you know, I thought, yes, that's kind of a dumb thing to say, that he wasn't a sinner. You know, my Bible tells me that God loves sinners. If you're not a sinner, then God doesn't love you. But I feel to be a sinner, and I feel that God loves me. And a testimony to him would be to present my body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto him, which is what? My reasonable duty. Can we do that? Can we do it with, I want to say, pride? You know, it is a proudful thing to serve the true and living God. I'm not ashamed. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of it, of this and what he preaches. I'm not ashamed of what I preach. Like I said today, I'll stand before presidents, before senators, and I'll preach the sovereignty of God's grace and not be ashamed of it one moment. That's a testimony unto the power of God. Right, you're looking at a testimony right here. Years ago when I began to try to speak in the name of the Lord, before, if you'd asked me to stand before God's people and have said anything, I would have choked up, couldn't have said a word, or wouldn't have been a word coming out of my mouth. But now, through the blessings of the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm not ashamed to stand before God's people. In fact, I'm glad to stand before God's people. They've nicknamed me now the happy preacher. I'm happy to do it. That's a good name. Thank y'all, brethren, for calling me the happy preacher. That's a name I hope it'll stick. And I want to be happy because I'm giving a testimony of the goodness and mercy of God. Are you? Ask yourself that question. If not, what you going to do about it? Are you going to change? You know, they say you can't teach an old dog new tricks, but I believe you can. I believe that God can teach you in the heart to be obedient and to give the cause of Christ. I tell you, children of God, old David, whenever he went to fight the giant, he told him, is there not a cause? David went in there not to make a name for himself, not to be high and exalted and lifted up, but he went to serve the true and living God that he might exalt his God. And that's what a testimony does. It exalts our Savior, our Lord God, and that is pleasing unto the Lord. Anytime a child of God lays aside the burdens and the pride and all of the things of this life and turn and testify in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, he's given praise, honor, and glory to our Savior. And that's what we're called upon to do here in this world. You know, I've often wondered what my calling was. I think it was to call to work 8 hours a day or 10 hours a day or 12 hours a day all my life and not get nowhere. I'll tell you, children of God, I had a little pity party a few years ago. I was working a job, and it seemed like that I was gone from home all the time. I was driving a truck cross country. About the time I'd get home, get settled in my easy chair or something, it'd be time for me to leave again, go to the West Coast. No time at home. And I was coming up the road one night, and I got to feeling sorry for myself. Is this all that life consists of? Is this all that my life is worthy of, just to work day and night to make a living? And lo and behold, I believe the Lord come to me that night and told me there's something far greater than that. He called me to be a witness to the goodness and mercy of his love. And I began to preach in that old truck going down the road. I don't know who I was preaching to, but I was preaching. And it wasn't long that I began to ask in the church. I was a member already of the church. But I wasn't long till I began to ask liberty to stand on the floor, because I had something to say. I had a testimony that I wanted to give. And that testimony was that that God showed mercy upon this old poor sinner.
Amen.
And that's my testimony tonight, that God is merciful to sinners. Paul says, and he was the chiefest. And I tell him, Paul's going to have to move over because I'm right there with him. Yeah. And that was my testimony. And I don't mind spreading it through all the land, through all the nations, and in all the churches, because it's worthy. It's worthy to call upon the name of the Lord. And for this cause, I extend myself sometimes far beyond my measure to go and preach the gospel. Sometimes we have to sacrifice things to give a testimony unto the Lord. Sometimes we have to turn from our families. You know what Jesus told them over there? He said, a man that's not willing to leave his mother and father, his wife and children, and take up his cross and follow me is not worthy to be my disciple. And if you can do that, children of God, that's a testimony of how much you love the Lord. Everything that we say and do is a testimony unto the Lord. And let us continue in that way, that we might give honor, praise, and glory to Him. And along the way, enjoy the fruits of our labor, enjoy the Spirit and the comforting and the joy of it, and eat that precious food that comes from on high. May God bless you is our prayer. Thank you for your kind attention. Well, I had one more, I hope.
God bless you, my brother. That was good. That was good.
Does someone have a number? 296.